Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 411, the box office report for the week ending November.
You got ahead of yourself a couple months.
I did.
What do you have going on in November? Another big trip?
Just really looking forward to Thanksgiving.
Can smell the turkey cooking.
Sure.
Mashed potatoes.
September 16th. There. That's what I meant to say. And talk about good timing.
Yeah.
We had to start without Joe because he was busy at work. As soon as we launch, he just strolls in the door all casual like.
Just like, hey, dudes.
Yeah. That's what I do.
You literally could have just kept going and we weren't even an introduction to it. Like, you could have just let it incorporate.
But I want people to know that he was late.
Okay.
Well, all right. Thank you.
Even the guest got here before the regular.
Also, I had work to do. Damn it. Work that I still have to do that I was like, I'm out. I got other stuff to do.
So I guess let's go around the table and we can introduce ourselves.
This is Joe.
This is Devin.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Hi, Devin. We have a guest.
Hello.
Hey, Devin.
You've been on before. Which one were you?
Dunkirk.
Dunkirk. That's right.
The critically acclaimed film that we all saw separately, did not talk about before the show, and then showed up and were like, this isn't very good.
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
Didn't you like it?
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I tried to cast aspersions. I thought somebody liked it.
No, I think we all saw it at the same theater.
I think you're thinking of the Mother episode, which we all came together at different times and were also like, yeah, that wasn't good.
Yeah, that was
Oh, man,
not
I missed
good.
Both those movies.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't say that you missed them.
That's true. I wasn't on those episodes. How about that?
Yeah.
It just goes to show you, like, we are not the pandering type critics that are like, oh my gosh, it's Christopher Nolan. Yeah. It's Quentin Tarantino. Like,
and last
no,
week.
No, let's be honest. Quentin Tarantino's not going to make a bad movie. Come on. Well, name one.
I don't like Death Proof.
Yeah, I was going to say Death
you
Proof.
Love, you love
crazy.
Kurt Russell, but I think that's his least liked film of all time.
Yeah, but he's not bad in it. He's great in that movie.
It's not an actor competition. I'm saying that movie is not
very
good.
Well, you said it had Kurt Russell in it.
That's why you love the movie, though.
No, I think it's a good movie.
Okay.
That whole scene on the front of that car, that's insane.
That's fine.
There's no gimmicks to that closing scene.
It just takes a long time to get going.
Stunt award.
Yeah, okay. Like that end of that, the whole scene with the girls in the bar is great. The whole scene with Zoe Bell on the front of that Charger is bananas. And I've actually rewatched that and been like, oh no, I do like this movie because I like
That's
the
okay.
dialogue. Yeah. I'm,
you don't
well if you like dialogue
oh yeah,
you're in for a treat this week.
Oh my god.
Yeah,
there's dialogue. Lots of dialogue.
Technically, there is dialogue, yes.
So, I don't even know where I was at. Shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. Sorry. People who were kind enough to share the show this week, if I can get my computer to work.
Here we go. Librarian Cynthia, Nick Scott, Ralph Tribble, Linnea Thunzel, Timmy Tuzoons. Did he have a Zoom break? Is he down?
That's what I thought.
No, he has new headphones. He has Apple wireless headphones. He's trying to figure out how to make them work with the Zoom.
I saw the post. Yeah. I thought he was saying
he's down a Zoom.
He's down a Zoom.
That's what I thought.
He was down a Zoom a long time
ago. But I thought he was down another one.
He'd be Timmy Nozoon.
He'd be Timmy Nozoon.
No, he's Timmy Zoon with AirPods or whatever.
Why doesn't he just buy like a corded AirPods?
Well, he just wanted the new, I guess, wireless Apple thing.
You don't get to have new things with a piece of crap like a Zoom.
Hey, now.
No reason to cast aspersions. But I was like, if he has no Zooms, we can't call him Timmy No Zooms. We're all technically something.
This is what I'm saying.
No Zooms.
No, we would have to get him a Zoom. Like, they're out there. We can just buy him.
I started a GoFundMe. Nobody wanted to chip in.
That's for the best.
It's probably still sitting out there somewhere.
What you don't know is it's collected $200,000.
Yeah. And Thomas spent it all like those people that spent the homeless guy's money.
What a weird story that is. I do like what the lawyer's like, nah, man, it's all gone. They got nothing. There's nothing left. Yeah.
Like, those people are done. Like, they've ruined their lives. Like, why would they collect all that money and spend it?
Okay. Because they thought the homeless guy wouldn't have the ability to come after them.
Oh, probably.
Yeah. Yet, what lawyer isn't going to take that story? Yeah. Like, that thing is blown up.
I think they thought that the homeless guy wouldn't even know how to go find a lawyer.
Yeah.
I feel like the homeless, they're not dealing with a homeless person from 1984. Like, this is a homeless person in 2018 who probably has an iPhone, by the way.
Yeah.
The
problem is, most of them do. Yeah. Like, that's how you live on the street, right?
And the problem is that those idiots, like, the story blew up. I mean, you have millions of people following the story, and then when he goes and says, they spent all my money, they think that isn't going to garner the, like, oh, what morons.
They're like, no, we gave it to him.
You know, I mean, the thing is, it's like, that's not your money. Like, people donated that for him. Like, it's not their money to spend.
Like, it's not like you're getting a direct deposit paycheck.
Yeah.
Well, their argument was like, well, we had to protect him from the money because he's on drugs. And I'm like, well, then leave it there.
Yeah. Or give him the money.
Yeah.
If the guy wants to blow it on drugs.
But it's not their money.
Here's the secret. If he's that big of a junkie, you give him like 10 grand and he'll OD, and then you just keep the money.
Keep the money.
Well, you're fine.
Like, no, we gave him all. We gave him, I don't know, he put it all in his arm.
The worst part of the story, other than, like, you know, this guy came from being homeless to having all this money to get
out. Is the smell?
No, that's like the third worst. Okay. But the worst part of the story is him losing all the money would be the second worst.
Okay.
The first worst part of the movie is that good people donated, and now after the story, people are going to be less likely to donate causes because it just shows how irresponsible people handle the money are.
Yeah, but we were kind of irresponsible anyway. Like, I mean, I get that people's heart were collectively in the right place, but did the homeless guy need $500,000? Like, maybe there are ways to help him without, like, that's
hard
maybe
to get, limit him, a, it,
get
though,
him a job. I mean, I get that. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes things just click and they take on a life of their own. But, like, you know, I would look at that and go, 100 grand, that's plenty for the homeless guy.
No, let's keep going.
He doesn't need more.
Yeah. It's like these morons that are burning their Nikes. Like, it's kind of on the same level.
I don't think that's the same, but I get what you're saying. The point is, though, that it's like these things are new. Like, we know that, you know, people donate to all these different, whether it's like Planned Parenthood or Red Cross, whatever the
real
things are.
Real spoilers, Patreon.
No. No. Just quiet. It's not the same thing. So,
well, we're donating.
We're not a nonprofit.
My next point is like 5% goes to the thing and 95% goes to the CEOs, you know? Yeah. And so people are already aware of that, but, like, this is GoFundMe, and these crowdsourcing things are fairly new, and this is a big spotlight. I'm like, oh, they crowdsourced $400,000, and these people stole it. So, like, I just feel like the people, next time there's a GoFundMe, people are going to think twice. They're going to go, I remember that story. I don't know. And that sucks for people that do need the help and maybe want $10,000. Like, people are going to go, oh, GoFundMe.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's the real loss, I think.
Is GoFundMe the new, like, F you?
Yeah,
go fund yourself.
That was the name of a South Park episode.
Was it?
And that's an actual, like,
was it
name
go fund
it.
Yourself?
Yeah, go fund yourself.
Nice.
So other people who shared the show this week, Griffin Fox Smith,
Bud Vogtlin.
That has to be a new one.
No, it's not actually. Oh. He shared
occasionally. Hello, Manarland. Hello, Manarland. He's the old type. He seems like a vaudeville performer.
he's the Toad from Warner Brothers.
Yeah. Travis Tewitt, Chris James, Jason Weese, Tammy Sherman Powers, Tom Comiskey, Troy Anspaugh, Brad Hyen, Julianne Jordan, Brent Smith, Ron Johnson, Chris Magic Man, Richard Lawson, Chris Sanders, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, and Lane Levanway. So if you would like to share an episode, just go to facebook.com/realspoilers and click share. It's just that simple. And also don't forget our aforementioned not criminally ran
Patreon. Joe, for the affiliation there.
Patreon.com/realspoilers. And we promise you,
Kevin, any press is good press.
Yeah. We promise you, if we raise $400,000, we're totally stealing it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There is no doubt.
We're going to Tahiti and we're buying a new Ford Focus. Yeah. Well, we're trying not to be crazy with
that's
it.
Fair. That's
you
fair.
Know.
Yeah, okay.
We got to buy one for all of
that's
us,
true.
Though. Right?
So I didn't think about that. Yeah, that's a good point.
Can't just go out.
Can I just put money down on it and then I'll just pay the rest of it later?
Sure.
Like a car payment? Like, here's $100,000 down.
If you,
$100,000
on a Ford Focus?
No. I just want $100,000 and I'll put it on a different car.
Oh,
Joe has 98% interest. Yes. Compounded daily.
He went to one of those pay-as-you-go lots.
Yeah,
we don't check your credit. Anyone can get a car.
Because we have a device that will disable your car.
Correct.
Oh, yeah. I know someone that went to one of those. Like, I heard the story that someone went, their mom went to those no credit check places to get a new car, and they stuck her with like a 30-something% interest on a car loan, you know, as opposed to your typical like 5 or 9 or whatever. And like, God, I mean, that's just crazy that people go to those things.
She's paying $900 a month for an 89 Camry.
It's people who don't have a choice, and a lot of those cars get sold, you know, 3 and 4 times.
Yep.
And what happened was
repos. Right?
What happened was when cities and states started passing all these laws against the check cashing stores because they have really high interest. So they started, all the people that ran check cashing stores moved into car lots.
Oh.
And it's the same premise.
It's the same principle, yeah.
Just applied to a vehicle. And it's actually safer if you're the creditor standpoint,
sure.
Because they have collateral. GPS tracking devices, and they do have devices on a lot of those cars where they can remotely disable them.
Yeah, you don't pay, you can't use your car.
They won't start. And so one, people are a lot more likely to pay and stay current because as soon as you're behind, your car stops running, and they know exactly where it's at, and they'll just come get it.
Smart.
And
sneaky,
so,
sneaky.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I was reading an article about it, and they said some of these cars have been sold in the course of a year 3 and 4 times.
Wow.
Because they'll miss one payment, and they'll be like, bloop, and they'll go get the car, put it back in the lot, and sell it again.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So.
Shady biz.
There's a little financial tip for
you. Inside sort of baseball.
Yeah.
Inside shady dealerships.
Sure. Yeah.
So that is not real spoilers.
No.
Let's be clear.
So there's all of that stuff. I guess we will now turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready. Kevin.
I do, Tom. And, you know, it's kind of a surprise to me because I was questioning, like, is the Predator going to be able to eke out a number one? It barely was.
What was it?
Well, so, you know, The Nun opened last weekend and had a huge weekend, and I started thinking, well, The Nun could easily be number two, but Predator was able to get a few million more, came in with $26 million. So, you know, hey,
got on what budget?
$88 million budget.
Doesn't deserve a single dollar of it.
Not even a dollar?
No.
Oh.
No,
$88 million budget. That seems really high for the like, visuals.
For what we got.
Yeah, we'll get into that one next episode. But yeah, it's an interesting one for sure, I guess you could call it. So anyway, it did get that number one, and coming in number two was The Nun. That made another $18.5 million. So a 66% drop, but again, had quite a large weekend. It is now up to $85 million domestic on a $22 million budget in 2 weeks.
Done.
Foreign? So, this makes no sense. What's the foreign on this in 2 weeks?
72.
$109 million.
Oh my God.
This movie, The Nun, worldwide has made about $200 million.
And
in 2 weeks.
What was the budget?
22.
Okay.
Well 10 times overseas.
That's there you go.
So okay. Let's do a little fantasy
it's
baseball.
Killing
here.
It in Romania.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So obviously the news came out that Henry Cavill is out. Right.
Well,
we don't know yet. That's the rumor.
But wasn't there a follow-up rumor that
from
was
TMZ?
And what exactly?
TMZ breaks a lot.
What
of news,
story has TMZ gotten wrong?
That's fair.
Right.
They're That's sleazy, fair. But they're not. No, they're
TMZ
sleazy.
Always breaks. I mean, yeah.
Okay, well, let's spitball for a second and say he's out.
Yeah.
All right. So we know we've got Gal Gadot isn't going anywhere as far as we know. She's okay. still got a second movie coming out.
Okay.
We know that Jason Momoa, as of right now, isn't
the
going anywhere.
The only reason this franchise still exists
is her.
Is because of her.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we can see what.
What's Batman doing?
Batman's gone. I guarantee you, Affleck's been out for a
he
while.
He didn't want to do it before he was yeah. having problems again.
Yeah,
so,
and I think
yeah.
he's back in rehab.
Yeah.
So we can assume this whole DCEU is out the window except for her. And Momoa for now.
I mean,
depending
if this,
on what Aquaman
if this,
what does.
If this
yeah.
movie does well, there's no reason they'd get rid of him. But no. yeah, I'd say they're probably, my guess would be they reboot it and they
but,
stick with those
but,
two.
Well,
and,
I don't know if
how,
you do.
But how do you reboot it Here's, but leave half the actors there?
You bring in, if you're going to do a Trinity movie, Supergirl and Batgirl and Wonder Woman. Why not?
But they haven't established Batgirl on the big screen.
They haven't established Supergirl either. The only they just gut the whole thing. I heard somebody describe this as, I feel like this is the scene in Kindergarten Cop when Schwarzenegger walks in and the kids are just running everywhere and wreaking havoc. Like, that's the DC creative room right now where there's no direction, right? So, okay, we go the Marvel route and we don't do the big three, right? Yeah. So you've got Shazam coming out in next year. Mm. You've got, that's really it. Maybe a Suicide Squad 2 is on the books right now.
Ugh.
That may or may not happen, but it's on the books.
They need to give them, they need to do their own solo movies, just like Marvel did with
right.
all of them. Then they can reintroduce them with Wonder Woman and Momoa and a Justice League. But like, they need to give them their own movie so people realize, okay, these are the new actors, it's a reboot.
So one of the things that I've always loved about DC is they are legacy characters.
Mm-hmm.
So you can invoke the idea of Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern without Clark, Diana, and Bruce and Hal.
Mm.
So yeah, if you want to, I mean, we know that there's a Batgirl movie out there that was supposed to have Joss Whedon and now it doesn't, I assume. We know that Wonder Woman is established with the two coming out next year, right? Wonder Woman 2 is next year?
I don't know if it's next year or not. Probably.
Okay.
Well, it's shooting now.
Right, yeah. So I think it's
I
next
would
year.
Think they would put it out next
we
year.
We know that Supergirl is in the works.
Mm-hmm.
So why not, if you want to lean into the Captain Marvel, Black Widow, Scarlet Witch world, why not lean into the new Trinity and make them all the female counterparts, go forward with your Nightwing movie and reintroduce the Superman and a new Superman and a new Batman. Give those two characters 2 or 3 years. Well, probably longer than that at this point, some room.
Yeah.
And that way you're not like, oh, we're getting our fifth Batman and our fourth Superman, you know.
Or
like,
they should in one of those movies, they should introduce Bruce Wayne at like a charity party.
Yeah.
So and then that way you're like, oh, wow, that's Bruce Wayne. And then that's it.
Right.
But like, say, hi, Bruce or something, you know, and,
or have Clark be like
him reporting.
Have him reporting on Kara's story.
Yeah. Have those two there like, so that you could set it up for their solo movies, then do a solo, then bring them together once they've earned it.
Yeah. I just think they need to maybe even just, yeah, like I said, gut this whole thing. But look at what they're doing with The Conjuring, right? Like a created franchise birthed in Warner Brothers that has no outside influence, that they made on their own, that is making that kind of money on a $12 million or $22 million dollar budget.
WB's been around for a long time. It's this DC mess they've gotten.
Well, I mean,
into.
Then you've got the Joker. Like, that Joker movie has, from what I understand, it's like a $45 to $50 million budget. So it's going to make money no matter what.
Yeah.
Like, financially, I don't think it can fail unless they're just like, totally
unless
screw the pooch.
Unless they just shelve it.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Yeah. I don't think with that kind of creative talent, though, they're going to shelve it.
That's that. Let's
never know. I guess that's
because there's still bigger fish to fry. And so even though it's high caliber creative talent,
right,
if they're like, oh, we have a new idea for our overall direction,
right,
and we can't put this out there because it's not part of it.
Oh,
they'll just shelve it.
I feel like that would be a mistake.
I mean, and.
Yeah, that's fair.
Right? Yeah. I'm not saying it's a good idea.
No, that's fair.
I'm saying it's exactly the sort of thing that they would do.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Well, we'll see what happens with that. But Warner Brother happy with their Nun money, certainly, in 2 weeks.
And then they've also
million.
Got the, what's this, Harry Potter thing coming out.
Oh, the Fantastic Beasts?
Yeah. I mean, that's going to make money, too.
Oh, absolutely. No That's, doubt. Yeah. No, Warner Brothers is doing well. It's just they got to figure out DC. So we'll see if that ever happens. Number three, A Simple Favor. That's the new Paul Feig movie with Blake Lively and Anna Kendrick. Did you see it, Tom?
I did.
How was it?
It's really good.
It's really
Shut
good.
Up.
I
it's
wanted to see
really,
it.
It's really, really good.
This is Paul Feig?
Yeah.
Is it a comedy?
They're just not marketing it as movies.
Yeah, it's like a dark comedy.
Yeah, they're not marketing it as like a Bridesmaids type.
Man, I thought yeah, this was
not,
like...
It's a, not a wacky comedy.
Yeah. No, I thought it was like one of those throwback to the 80s dime store Hand That Rocks the Cradle kind of movies.
I mean, you're not wrong, but it's also got a modern sensibility, and it's funny in spots.
So go and see that today.
Man, but it's like, it's a great
Damn, I was
story.
Hoping Leanne has been on my back about going to see that movie, and I was just like, no, it looks ridiculous. But now I found out it's good.
Well, then you can feel good about going to see it.
There are multiple sex scenes with Anna Kendrick.
Well, I'm in. Oh. That's all you had to lead with.
Yeah.
And Blake Lively?
Don't spoil it.
Yeah, I'm not spoiling anything.
So anyway, a simple favor. Just do me a
Does
simple favor,
Does she sing
favor,
while
Tom.
She's doing them?
What's that?
Does she sing while she's doing it?
Does she sing the cup song?
Yeah. If you're doing it right.
So anyway, come 16. I can just hear Dan off in the distance bust open the door with the maracas in both hands.
I'm here!
$16 million for A Simple Favor. Undisclosed budget. No money foreign yet, so we'll see what that one continues to do, but go see it. Apparently it's good. Number four, another new movie this week, White Boy Rick, which friend of the show Brad Hyand did review on ReviewSTL.com. $9.2 million domestic. Tom, did you see that one?
I did not.
Okay.
Did Brad give it positive or negative?
Like a C. Like, it was not C+ or something. See, it was not... He said the gist of it was like it was an interesting premise based on a true story. It just didn't deliver on how good it could have been.
Is the reconnaissance over?
Oh, I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway.
I don't know. But, when's the last time he was in a really good movie?
That's what I'm saying.
Interstellar? I don't know.
I feel like Interstellar is the end of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question.
Mm-hmm. When was Mud?
Mud was before that. Mud kind of kicks it off.
No,
you're right. Because Mud, it's yeah, Mud, then right Dallas Buyers Club.
Yeah.
So,
and then True Detective.
13 Mud, 13 Dallas Buyers Club, 13 Wolf of Wall Street. So that was like boom, boom, boom.
And then
Interstellar a year later.
13 is also True Detective.
Okay.
Yeah.
A year later, Interstellar. 2 years later, a year and a half later, Free State of Jones, which I never saw.
That was a weird one.
I would be like, misfire.
Yeah, then he did some Voices, and then he did a movie, The Sea of Trees, which made like no money. It must have been very art house type movie. But then 17, so he was off for a while other than The Voices. Then 17, he did Gold.
Which I enjoyed that movie.
But it was okay, but it wasn't what they wanted it to
when
be.
When was Magic Mike?
Like 2011,
2012.
Okay, yeah. So
I think you could almost make the argument that that's the beginning.
You probably can. That's
he was
true.
Really good in it for sure,
in a different kind of way too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
And then so there was Gold in 17. Later in 17 was Dark Tower. So I mean, he's had a couple misses, but he had a lot of hits before that.
Absolutely,
so,
yeah.
And I don't think he's bad in this one. So you know, we'll see what he continues to do.
I don't think he's been bad in a movie in a long time.
No, I would agree. Yeah.
No, he's not usually the problem. He's a good actor, so yeah. It just depends on what role he takes. So apparently this one just isn't quite what they wanted it to be. But $9 million on this one domestic. I don't believe there is any.
And that's number three?
Number four.
And it made $9 million?
Mm-hmm. September.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, so, but I mean, yeah, for this time of year, I mean, there's some decent numbers at the box office. Coming in at number five, though, Crazy Rich Asians, talk about some big numbers. $8.7 million is a 34% drop in week five, so this one chugging along. It has $150 million domestic now, and overseas it has $31 million. So, you know, it's approaching that $200 million mark. It's not quite there, but I think it easily could do it before it's said and done. And $30 million budget on that one, so approaching $200 on a 30.
I mean, you can't.
They got.
That's not going anywhere.
And that's like, Warner Brothers. Remember?
Yeah, so. That's only number five.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
It's got a long way to go.
I know. I think so. A couple, you know, more weeks. I mean, we're gonna get into that Halloween, you know, type movie, the movie, and we're gonna get into all these kids, you know. So there's more and more that are going to make it drop quicker, but that one doing very well for itself, approaching $200 million on that $20 million budget.
And they have all the money in the Crazy Rich Asian action figures.
That's true. They didn't talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody knew that merchandising.
And the really weird thing, they're made in America. Well, if you're going to make a superior product, you don't make it in America.
Oh, anyway. I heard they're exclusively sold at Toys R Us. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. So somebody posted a picture that I guess a Spirit Halloween store had taken over
Toys R Us.
And they're just like, Halloween's already just eating away at all of my childhood.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's what they do with all those office maxes that close and whatever. I mean, all they need is a huge space
for
to put their costumes
one
in.
Month.
Yeah,
and
right.
And they close it up.
Yeah, exactly.
I heard that you should see a pretty big drop in the box office next week because Trump launched a trade war.
Oh, good.
Against Crazy Rich Asians. So
anything he can do,
he's just trying to prop up White Boy Rick.
Yeah. he thinks it's a different movie than what it actually is.
He's like, oh, I like that White Power Rick movie.
So like, Mr. President, it's called White Boy Rick.
Close enough.
And moving on.
White Boy Rick takes a drastic drop.
Oh, boy. It needs all the help it can get. So
in certain states.
That's true.
Coming in at number 6, Peppermint in week 2. That's that Jennifer Garner movie. $6 million, 55% drop. It is now at $24 million domestic. And overseas, it has a couple million. So it's just over $25 million on a $25 million budget, so unfortunately not doing quite as well as they'd hope. Number 7, The Meg, though. Talk about a movie that is just swimming along. Like, that movie,
come on, Kevin,
really?
Yeah, you're better than that. Jesus.
Hey, come on.
No. I expect better out of you.
The unmitigated gill.
Well, in that movie, he says, just keep swimming.
Yeah,
I figured that I could.
He's also Jason Statham.
Yeah.
I was just trying to tie it into that joke.
Yeah, okay? The joke's a lot funnier if you have abs.
Oh, okay. I have them. We all have
covered
them.
No, we have ab.
We just have a six pack. I have a keg.
We have one giant ab.
So anyway.
Each, not collectively.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Yes,
that would be weird.
Weird. We don't share it on every other weekend and holidays.
Yeah. Tom, it's my weekend with the app. Thank you very much. Check the court documents.
But with all that sweet Patreon money, we were able to buy an ab roller that we share.
But the weird thing is, you don't get the ab and the ab roller in the same weekend.
No, you have to earn your own. Yeah, you have to make your ab. That's the point. But anyway, the Meg.
Buy those electrodes that shock your abs into being an abs.
That's not a real thing.
It's a real thing that exists.
It doesn't work, but that is a thing.
You're just strapping electrodes to your stomach and hoping that your lazy ass will get abs by just shocking you.
Yeah.
That sounds like one of those 1800 things like bloodletting that like wouldn't like work.
Basically.
It's like the slightly newer version of that belt. Vibrating belt that you'd...
Oh, so you've been on the Carousel of Progress too, Tom.
Yeah. Well, you would see it in old movies,
too. I still can't figure out how that was supposed to work.
I think it was just like jiggling your fat away or something.
It's ridiculous.
Know.
It makes no sense.
We're just going to use friction to burn your skin off. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. There's 10 pounds.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, because that's what we do. It doesn't. It doesn't. But anyway, the Meg, $4.3 million is a 29% drop in week 6. Wow. $137 million domestic and all the money in the world, foreign, $364 million. So it's over $500 million now worldwide on a $130 million budget. So, I mean,
good for it. I mean, that's they did it right. You know, like they put the money in the right place. They kept their budget semi low.
You know who produced that?
Blumhouse,
Warner Brothers.
Oh yeah, right. Okay, I thought
distributed it. Like, I mean, Warner Brothers, they're up there.
It's just interesting that they can get all of this other stuff right, and then the one thing that
should be the easiest,
correct?
Thing.
They can't figure out to save their life.
You know, it has to be. You know, not to keep getting into it, but it has to be because these other movies, they have more say on all the other movies. But it's like with DC, you have so many writers and so much mythology, and then you have execs trying to stick their nose in the business. Yeah. Of the people that know what they're doing at DC, and it's just a mess. Where these other movies, you know, they can say, "Oh, this works, shark action movie or whatever," you know, international movie.
They can trust the creators in a way that they won't,
because
there's so much at stake,
right?
Exactly.
They just can't stop messing with it,
shooting themselves in the foot.
I'll tell you what, man. If I were DC and Warner Brothers, I would whatever amends you need to make to Mark Waid, pay that man, because he said he's one of the most underrated Superman writers ever. And he said, I've got an idea, but
F him.
What happened?
I think there was some royalty rights that kind of, like, they didn't pay him the right way. And he, I don't think he gets along with DiDio. And that's, they've tried to get him back. And he's like, are you going to get rid of him? And they're just like, no. And he's like, cool, I'm going to Marvel. Yeah. See ya.
Well,
good luck.
Yeah. So anyway, the Meg doing quite well.
Now, well, especially like almost all that Flash stuff they're doing is Mark Waid stuff.
It's him and Geoff Johns. Yeah. Like everything. Yeah. And yeah. Geoff Johns has made very, very sure that his storylines are the ones that are getting the most, like the Flashpoint thing. That's all Johns.
Yeah.
That's all him. But the most of the Flash TV show stuff is based on the Mark Waid, which is interesting. It's the Mark Waid, Wally West stuff.
Right.
But they're using Barry Allen instead because, you know,
right.
Barry Allen.
Yeah.
Because we can't use Wally West. Because, you know, it's not like we have a Barry Allen in the movie universe that we are going to confuse people with.
But they do use Wally West quite a bit in the show, too.
Is he still on the show?
Oh, yeah.
I'm like a season behind.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. So it's like, that's cool that they introduced Wally West. So you have Barry Allen and Wally West.
It's interesting in the comics is they've reintroduced white Wally West.
Oh, that's
so
weird.
There's two Wally Wests in the DC universe right now.
Why wouldn't they just go with the... I guess they can't because if...
Because Geoff Johns was in charge and he was like, I like my version better. Bring him back.
Because usually they do the synergy thing where the comics start shaping to the...
Like there was a black Wally West who was Iris's nephew.
Yeah.
But now they've brought back the original Wally West, who's like the key to reigniting the old DCEU.
Yeah.
Like people forgot who he was and he just touches people and they're like, oh, yeah.
Oh,
I remember you.
They're waking him up because they erased everything, but now
they're trying to bring it all back.
I see. Interesting. Yeah.
And they're using Wally West, the original Wally West.
Yeah. So his kryptonite will be the Me Too movie.
Correct.
He's like, stop touching me. Stop going around touching people, you perv.
Do you want your memories back or not?
Maybe not, depending on where you touch me.
Oh, just a tap on the shoulder, I'm sure. Yeah. Right?
He's not. Back on the cheek.
Well, it depends on how much you want to remember.
That's true.
If you want to remember a whole lot,
he's the Flash, though. Like, you won't even know that it happened.
Okay. Let's just not go there. Number eight, Searching, $3.3 million, a movie from a few weeks ago. That's a 28% drop.
And you know what else it is? Damn crime. That movie should be at $100 million.
Yeah. It's so good. It really is. I'm glad Joe came around on the episode.
I did, yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, because I was like
I said, I had problems with some of the framing devices and some of the way they use the computer, but the story's good.
Yeah, it's excellent. So hopefully you guys listen to that interview that I mentioned last week on Next Best Picture with the editors. It's fascinating how they made the movie. But anyway, it is at $19 million, and let's see, anything overseas on this guy? $18 million. So it's approaching 20 overseas, so we're at about $40 million on an undisclosed budget. I can't imagine it would be a huge budget, but I still think with every like all the technical stuff and the actors in it, I bet it's about a $20 million, I would think.
Searching?
Yeah.
Didn't we say it was like 4.5?
It was like 4.3 million
dollars.
Did we? I don't have a budget.
That was Wikipedia, though.
Yeah, but they're normally close.
Really?
Like $4 million.
Oh, yeah. Holy cow. I didn't realize it was that low. Jeez. That's amazing that they made that movie for that.
But I mean, like, you're paying.
So they are making money, which is great. But,
that's good, at least.
But they deserve to make more.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well,
I mean, you're paying Deborah Messing and John Cho.
Yeah, they must have. I mean, they probably just took back end deals, you know, because at that.
Also, they probably never left their house. He's like, I get to do this in my kitchen.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Yeah, no, it's an art house type movie, and so it definitely is getting acclaim, and I'm glad. But yeah, it would be great to make some more money. It deserves it for sure. Number nine, Mission Impossible Fallout. Wow, 8 weeks. I mean, this thing stuck around almost 2 months, and it's still in the top 10.
Maybe he's got that Green Lantern job after all.
$2.4 million, a 38% drop for that movie, and $216 million domestic. But overseas, that thing has already crossed the $500 million mark, $522 as of this weekend. So you're at $750 million on a $178 million budget. So
is there a way to see like what the total profit for that franchise is that even a thing that they list?
I bet I could.
On Wikipedia they totally do.
Well, I tried to figure out the goddamn timeline for Alien versus Predator on Wikipedia, which was a joke.
Oh, you were trying to...
I was trying to put it together, and I was like, this doesn't make any sense.
So, yeah, I don't think that's Wikipedia's fault.
No, that's probably true.
So as of today on Box Office Mojo, which does include Fallout, cool. Okay. So as of right now, with that box office still totaling up, they have made $1.149 billion domestic.
The entirety of the series.
Yes, okay, and then here worldwide, they have made $3.5 billion worldwide, unadjusted for inflation.
How about this? Here's the weird. So Avengers Infinity War just closed out its theatrical run. Mm-hmm. $2.0 billion on one movie.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's half a movie.
Yeah,
I remember they filmed the whole thing and split it in two.
So can you imagine, like, I have to believe that's at the final run of part four, it has to be $3 billion.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, the buzz around this one is ridiculous. Like, and it's a ridiculously good movie. I have to believe that the next one's going to make even more, because people who probably, I don't know how it's possible to make more.
I don't know. Like, the thing is, though, with, like, Avatar, it was such a weird, crazy phenomenon, you know?
Yeah.
And this is still a superhero movie, and there's still people that don't care about superhero movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I think you're not going to get people to show up that just still don't care. Like,
right.
You're not going to make them, where Avatar was just, like, this perfect combination that made insane money because everyone saw it.
Yeah.
Well, you know? It has really good buzz for, like, nerds like us that really like Marvel movies and just kind of movies, but, like, you know, people at my work, like my boss, he's like, I couldn't like really get into it. And I'm like, because it is a sequel to 33 movies.
Yeah. So, exactly.
So wait, so like, so that's interesting, right? Like, I just find it, I always find it interesting when people are just like, oh, I don't really get it. It's like, well, where have you been for 10 years? Have you not seen any of these movies in 10 years?
But if they don't like those, like, it's just going to be hard to get people to watch people with capes and tights. Like, if they're
that's 100 hours, too.
It's a lot of movies.
But if you're not into Captain America, if you're not into seeing
and
the first one.
And only two people wear capes in those movies, by the way.
I'm just giving you the example.
That's the
he's also not wrong.
He's not wrong.
Because that's the perception of the people who won't go see these movies.
Yeah, right. They're like, I'm just not into that type of thing. And it's like, we know each movie is molded and based on different genres, and they have the right directors. Like, you know, you get that compelling espionage movie with Winter Soldier. And, you know, they're all like that. But it's just in people's minds, if they're like, you know, I'm not into superhero movies, they're not going to give it a shot, you know? And so that's the only reason why I disagree. I know it will make a ton of money, and I think it will do better than part one even, but I just don't think it's going to be able to cross that point to where it's just a universal movie, you know, universally.
No, it's Disney.
I don't... How much more universal can it get, though, with
that's
that kind of box office?
I mean,
clearly a lot of people... You know,
yeah,
I mean,
but it the can universe get, it can is get going $3 billion and make Avatar money is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that's because Joe's saying it's going to make three, but I don't think it can, because you're never going to win over that audience that just won't see superhero movies.
Yeah.
Where Avatar is like, is the four quadrant hit, and it's the people that like the fantasy element or the romance element or the action element or the kids movie.
I think Avatar just got a lot because 3D was new.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was really good 3D.
Yeah.
I've been told, but
it was.
But that I think a lot of people were just like, oh, I heard the 3D is cool, let's go.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. No, I mean, it's all that. It was the exact right combination. It was that lightning in a bottle, like, to the fullest extent, like,
yeah,
you know, definition of that. And it is very hard to hit. So it will be amazing. And geez, for them, I mean, what did they do? Was it a $1 billion budget or 500?
I thought it was a 500,000.
Was it 500 for each?
500,000.
For each.
500 million?
Yeah, 500 million. Was sorry.
So
it's an independent movie.
Yeah. So that's interesting. So that they split it up that way. Because it's been so long now, but we used to talk about that it was like, you know, it was a combined budget, but for each one it was huge on their own. But, you know, they're making $2 billion and they're going to make another two to
that's,
whatever.
And that's,
billion
just the, and that's just the theater take.
Oh,
that's not digital. That's not DVD.
Absolutely. And
so,
then, hey, you've got
TV
all that.
TV rights.
Plus
right.
The action figures. I mean, you know, they sell the Thor's hammer and Captain America's shield and all the toys.
The 10-year anniversary edition.
Oh, geez. Then the new box set with all of them. And yeah, it's there, you know, they're doing it right. Disney is not, you know, as we see, they're making $70 billion purchases here and there. So anyway, but yeah, so the Mission Impossible franchise, $3.5 billion worldwide, unadjusted for inflation. And, you know, Tom Cruise has kind of figured out this franchise device.
Yeah.
And if they can apply it to something like Green Lantern.
Well, the only thing is the clock's ticking on how long he can keep making movies like
that.
That
is true.
Yeah. The dude's like, what, 56?
Yes. 55?
Yeah.
Mid-50s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless he really is Lestat or whatever. Yeah, he's a real vampire he was.
I'm telling you, Scientology.
I've seen that documentary, man. It's, yeah. So, yep. Mission Impossible.
56. Okay.
There you go. And rounding out the box office is Disney's Christopher Robin with $2.2 million, 35% drop in week 7. So people still just kind of like that movie, quietly strolling to the box office, and $95 million domestic, but also overseas, I think it was like, yeah, $51 million. So you're looking at $150 on that one. So, and I keep forgetting, like $75 million, I think we saw on Wikipedia was the budget.
I think that was 75 or 80.
Could you guess 80 and they readjusted or something like that? So, $150 on a 75, so it's making money, and you have to imagine the toys with that one, the Disney's Christopher Robin, you know, the new plush animals, and then the home video and everything. So,
plus,
you know,
it keeps it front and center for a new generation.
Exactly, because I'm sure they'll try to spin off a new series, a Pooh animated series or something based on
it. Can't make a Pooh cartoons anymore.
No, that's illegal.
Yeah,
thanks a lot, Mr. Hanky.
I thought I was the immature one for when they said, every time they said poo in that movie, and you go and make the poo joke.
No, I was making an Apu joke.
Oh, they can't do that.
Yeah.
You think they're going to put him... Wait, you mean the Simpsons character?
Yeah.
Or, okay.
That size.
Yeah. And then Hank Azaria is just like, man, I just lost one of my 97 characters that I'm not allowed to do anymore.
Yeah, 30, the season 30, getting ready to start back
nuts.
Up. So yeah, I want to get, I guess Newsweek did a big cover special edition on Simpsons 30 years. And
it's just five people that do all the voices on the show.
Oh, right, right, no. But yeah, I want to pick that up. But yeah, season 30.
Have you ever gone back and rewatched the Tracy Ullman version?
Sure.
I got to tell you, it is rough to watch.
Oh, it's
like
very rough.
The voices are all like they're there, yeah, so, but they're not there yet.
You know what happened? So they made that cartoon.
Was it one? Did they do one cartoon and then immediately spun it off?
No, or no, there, no. It was a bunch of shorts.
Yeah,
it was bumpers.
Like a, it was like an interstitial thing they did as they went to break.
Okay. Yeah, they were bumpers, and they all throughout the show they did the bumpers, and so they would have one. They did a whole bunch of them, and so what they did was they sent those cartoons, like Matt Groening sketched out the characters very roughly, and he sent them to be animated, and he thought they were going to clean them up.
Oh.
And they just animated his rough characters.
That's hilarious.
So, like, the reason why they look so rough, I mean, even though they wouldn't have been obviously clean as they are now, or were in season 4 or 5 even.
I think four and five is the creme de la creme of that show.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. That's where the pinnacle is. But he thought in those shorts even that, like, they were going to clean them up. But seriously, the best, if you're a Simpsons fan, if you like Simpsons at all, even if you aren't, like, if you're just fascinated by how it is the longest running show, primetime show, and how
it's not, though. I mean, it's Raw. Raw's been on the air. I'm just saying.
It's not network, though.
Oh, I guess
network primetime.
Okay.
So if you're fascinated by the numbers and why this show has lived on 30 years or whatever, Mike Reiss has this book, Springfield Confidential. It is fascinating because Mike Reiss has been a showrunner since those Conan O'Brien days.
Oh,
and
really?
He still is. Works on the show. Him and Al Jean. You see those names all the time. Mm-hmm. Mike Reiss, Al Jean. He talks about all the behind the scenes stuff over his, you know, 25 to 30 years, however long he was on the show. I can't remember, but
get that man a podcast.
Yeah. Oh, but he is fascinating. But he reads his book. His book is the podcast, man. Listen to this story. And it is fascinating. He tells you all that behind the scenes stuff about the animators who decided their skin should be yellow. You know, he just tells you all the stories that you've ever wondered. Why are they drawn like this? Why are the color like this? How did this happen? He tells you, and he tells you about Matt Groening and all the deals he has and stuff. Like, it's just fascinating. Yeah.
Groening's the Halloween version.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah. Sorry. But anyway, yeah, it is really great. So Springfield Confidential, okay. Mike Reiss, seriously, you will not be disappointed with that one. But anyway, so going back to this one, Disney's Christopher Robin rounds it out, the $150 million. So it's about to drop out of the top 10, but I don't know if they could have expected much more out of that little movie.
Not.
You know, it's a cute, sweet movie, a great family movie. So.
Well, Disney now owns The Simpsons, so there you go.
And there you go. Yeah. So that's the box office.
Well, thank you, Gavin.
You're welcome.
So I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Devin. You can find me on Twitter at All Dogs Go to Devin.
This is Kevin. You can
that's
follow
pretty good.
Yeah.
All Dogs Go number 2,
Dev. Yes, it's Dev because I think Devin's maybe a little bit too long.
Oh, okay. All Dogs Go to
no,
Dev.
No, Devin. I'm sorry. Snapchat, username and then Twitter username getting mixed up. In it. It's Devin.
And in your Grindr account is?
Devin.
Oh, perfect.
Devin and out.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can follow the show online at on Twitter at Real Spoilers or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, join the League of Show Sharers. Share the show with your friends and loved ones or your unloved ones. So
either or.
Yes. So that's it for this one. Coming up next time, we will tackle The Predator.
Yeah, don't get me
started. We're going to have the Dateline guy is going to come in here and help us out.
Yeah, so we're going to go grab a Mike's Hard Lemonade
and a box of condoms.
So, Devin, thanks for coming on the show. Yeah, just sit in this chair here.
Yeah, have a seat. So that's what you have to look forward to. Until next time, you've been warned, especially you, Devin.
Take out your papers and get trash, or you don't get no spending cash. If you don't scrap the kitchen floor, you ain't gonna rock and roll no more.
Yakety yak, yakety yak.
Don't talk back. Marnie. Excuse me, but I was just taking a shower.
Good singing.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.